There can be a lot to worry about when selling a car, but not when you donate it to Distinction. Donate your old car, truck, or RV to help pay for the programs you enjoy and rely on. Here's how.
Call 877-KPBS-CAR.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, February 4th. One local mom gives us advice on how she saves money at the grocery store. That's next, but first, the headlines. Chula Vista City Council joined the City of San Diego Monday in weighing in on federal immigration enforcement. The Chula Vista Council voted 4-0 to approve a resolution condemning federal immigration enforcement activities that have led to the loss of life, destabilized communities, and diminished public trust. The council also ordered city flags be lowered to half staff through mid-February in honor of Renee Good and Alex Preddy, both killed during immigration protests in Minnesota. While the vote itself was unanimous, public comment showcased a much more divided room. CBS 8 says supporters of the measure said they feel that silence can no longer be an option, while opponents said they feel the city is overstepping and should not be going against the federal government. California Governor Gavin Newsom was in San Diego Monday to announce the results of the state's expanded drug enforcement efforts. Newsom said more than 50 million fentanyl pills, valued at over $500 million, have been confiscated since 2021. He says they were able to accomplish that by doubling the number of California National Guard service members at the state's port of entry and by placing CHP crime suppression teams in high crime areas. The San Diego Humane Society is inviting you to a baby shower. It's a virtual baby shower to help stock its wildlife nurseries. SDHS's Project Wildlife program cares for more than 10,000 orphaned or sick animals each year. During the spring breeding season, they provide care for an array of vulnerable animals like baby raccoons, squirrels, ducklings, bobcats, and more. Animal lovers and community members can purchase items like specialized formula, enclosures, and more. You can visit sdhumane.org/baby shower if you'd like to donate. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons. And I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, explores how people are making ends meet. Reporter Katie Anastas brings us grocery shopping advice from a local mom who says planning ahead has made a difference.
The cost of food has gone up by more than 25% since the pandemic. The reasons include everything from tariffs to bird flu to the weather. Standing outside Food for Less in Santee, Allie Powell remembers noticing how high her grocery bills were getting a few years ago.
I was going to the grocery store without a plan. We were eating out a lot, and it just got overwhelming. I realized how much money I was spending.
She wanted to make a change. She started planning meals for her family of 4 each week. Before going to the store, she takes stock of the perishable items at home.
Fridge, pantry, and freezer. Everything is checked.
Her budget is $150 per week at the grocery store and $250 every 4 to 6 weeks at Costco. She shares her weekly grocery hauls on an Instagram account called Grocery Getting Girl. This time, she's under budget.
I spent $107.27.
Powell suggests keeping an eye out for sales if those discounted items are already on your shopping list.
The potatoes, the gold potatoes were on sale for $3. Normally those are $5. That was awesome.
One other tip she shares, leave the family at home when you go shopping.
Because when your kids and your significant other come along, that bill starts going up because they're throwing things in the cart.
Find more stories of how families are saving money at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
It's In San Diego County, black defendants are more likely than white defendants to face charges that can lead to life without parole, even for the same crime. In part two of this two-part series, reporter Katie Heisen looks at how that gap has widened under the current district attorney.
For people convicted of murder, special circumstance charges can mean the difference between the chance at parole and dying in prison. It wasn't something Daniel Troutfield used to worry about.
I thought that our system would only give them life without parole if the things that they had done were truly egregious.
Troutfield now directs the Special Circumstances Conviction Project at UCLA. He says there are about 5,000 people serving life without parole in California, far more than nearby states. When Troutfield started meeting them, they weren't who he expected.
These are people who are in wheelchairs, who are walking around prisons with walkers, who have been there for decades, people who have fully rehabilitated, who are leading rehabilitative work in California prisons.
He says the U.S. is one of the only Western countries to sentence people to life without parole. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, it doesn't deter crime. Troutfield says pulling together data to see patterns in these sentences is challenging.
Many county DA's offices haven't been, and in some ways are still not, particularly diligent in keeping records of the convictions and charges and sentences that they have administered.
Andy says what records they do keep are hard to access.
We have to rely on data provided by the DA to then address the DA's history of racialized sentencing and charging.
But recently, his team received what he calls a windfall of data from San Diego County. All cases with at least one first-degree murder charge since 1996.
The concerns that community members raised really bore out in the data.
Troutfield says San Diego's district attorney's office charges fewer people overall with special circumstances compared to nearby counties. But the racial disparities in who they charge are much more extreme.
The laws are so broad that essentially a vast, vast number of people are eligible for these specials. And it's at the complete discretion of the DA to bring those specials forward.
The data show this gap has gotten much wider under Summer Steffen than it was under the previous district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis.
Under Dumanis, black people were essentially five times more likely to be exposed to life without parole through felony murder. Versus under Summer Steffen, approximately 23 times more likely to be exposed to life without parole through felony murder. So that's a huge increase. And that increase can't really be explained by other types of changes in the county.
To control for possible differences between cases, his team then looked at all cases with two or more murder charges. Those are automatically eligible for a special circumstance. After Steffen took office, the rate of that charge against eligible people fell for every group, except for black people. It rose for black people by more than 17%. The Public Defender's Office has accused the district attorney of having no standard criteria for when they charge specials, leaving the door wide open for bias. The district attorney's office declined an interview, but told KPBS by email that they charge special circumstances whenever there's enough evidence, regardless of race. They say the disparity doesn't reflect intentional choices by their office. State lawmakers passed the Racial Justice Act in 2020 to help reduce disparities in sentencing.
The problem is that oftentimes the district attorneys are opposing this work as fervently as they can and really don't want to see these sentences changed.
The Stanford Law Group and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund released an analysis in November. It says no California judge has granted a petition under the Racial Justice Act for disparate sentencing. Troutfield says the most effective tool to reduce these disparities is voting.
It's really important for people in San Diego to consider what DA best reflects the values of their community and really pay attention to how different DAs will enact their discretion.
San Diego will hold its next district attorney election in 2028. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
California psychiatric hospitals have more time to meet the state's new staffing rules. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says hospitals argued a January deadline would result in the loss of patient beds.
I have worked without ratios and with the ratios.
Brandy Welch has been a registered nurse for 28 years.
It makes a difference in the safety of our patients as well as our own safety, but also the amount of care that we can give them.
Under the proposed rules, psychiatric hospitals would need one nurse for every 6 adult patients or 5 pediatric patients. Facilities that don't comply could face daily fines. Leandra Clark Harvey runs the California Behavioral Health Association.
We support adjustments that are going to help people thrive, but we don't support them under extreme time pressure that doesn't allow us to put the needed people in place.
Sharp Mesa Vista Hospital in San Diego says last year, it took an average of 67 days to hire a registered nurse. Harvey says when hospitals can't hire fast enough, beds may disappear, leaving patients with fewer options.
In California, we have about 17 to 20 beds per 100,000 people. Ideally, we should have about 50 beds.
Several psychiatric facilities in San Diego County submitted letters asking for a year, but the state says rules will take effect June 1st. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
San Diego's Snapdragon Stadium is going to host Olympic soccer matches. Reporter Jacob Ayer says it will be one of 6 U.S. venues for the 2028 men's and women's Olympic soccer tournaments.
San Diego's soccer scene keeps on growing. San Diego State University's home field and the home field for San Diego's 2 soccer teams will now host international teams for the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. Emily Needham is chief business officer with San Diego Wave FC.
Well, there's so much credibility here, I think, between both the men's team and the women's team now. Our fans have showed up from day one, and I would argue they're not just here to support the clubs, but they elevate the game.
Organizers of the games say Snapdragon Stadium could host matches up through the Olympic soccer semifinals. The schedule for both the women's and men's soccer tournaments will be announced before the first tickets are released in April. The LA Summer Games happen in July 2028. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Cinema junkie Beth Accomando has a Super Bowl alternative for Sunday, a live movie concert celebrating the magical work of a filmmaking pioneer.
Georges Méliès was a magician who in the late 1800s, in the infancy of cinema, wanted to see what magic he could create on screen.
At this period, you just have like tools, scissors, and glue. So everything was in his mind, and that's incredible, just incredible.
And that inspired Jean-Francois Alcolia to create a tribute to the cinematic innovator with Right in the Eye, live movie concert of Georges Méliès' films. The show's title plays off the famous image of Méliès' trip to the moon in which a rocket ship hits the moon right in the eye.
Basically, it's a live movie concert, which means silent film and live music. And you have musicians on stage who are playing more than 50 instruments. So it's a whole experience in a light design, set design. So this is a journey through magic.
Seeing Méliès' films on a big screen with an inventive soundscape is a rare and wondrous opportunity not to be missed. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.